coping with life after Florence.
It's unlivable. It's unlivable.
As water rises in more places.
Some rivers in North Carolina won't crest until tomorrow.
Accusations against the Supreme Court nominee.
She's willing to do what she needs to do.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Indeed.com.
Good morning. I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Huge swaths of North Carolina are a watery mess because of still rising floodwaters from what is now Tropical Depression Florence. In New Hanover County, one city has been impossible to get into or out of. Correspondent David Begno.
Right now, the city of Wilmington, first thinking they would have to fly in supplies, has found out they can drive them in. So here's what they're going to do. They're going to today figure out a way to drive in enough food to feed 60,000 people for 4 days. Right now, they are planning where they can drop them off because initially the places they had are cut off by floodwater.
CBS's DeMarco Morgan is also in the flood zone.
All eyes are on Lumberton, North Carolina this morning, where the rising Lumber River threatens to worsen flooding. Relentless rain from Florence caused the river to swell, rising overnight to more than 24 feet in an already inundated city. Emergency officials and volunteers have been working around the clock to keep the river at bay.
Florence has killed at least 17 people since Friday, some of those deaths in New Bern, which was among the first to feel the wrath of the storm.
We will bring it back and rebuild.
For now, everyday tasks are difficult.
Please be patient. We will get you taken care of, all right, folks?
Filling up takes time.
We've been everywhere for gas. There's no gas nowhere but here. So you have to be patient.
I'm Jim Crisul in Fayetteville, North Carolina. The coffee-colored, nasty-smelling floodwaters are a toxic brew of farm and industrial chemicals, fluids from vehicles, household cleaning products, and farm animal waste. They have a distinct petroleum odor in many places. I've seen many agitated and aggravated, displaced snakes.
I'm Mike Smeltz in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
And I haven't seen nothing like this. At 74 years of age, this is the first time I've seen anything like this.
Lifelong coastal Carolina resident James Franklin says Florence wiped out his home. For now, he's staying at this temporary shelter in Chapel Hill on the University of North Carolina's campus.
Maybe about 400, 500, 600 people in here. And they're still coming day and night. They're still coming.
Cots, 3 meals a day, and showers welcome people here. Organizers say it'll stay open until all safe from Florence.
I'm Peter King in Columbia, South Carolina. Most of the rain is gone, but what Florence left in the north is on its way here. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster.
Those rivers in North Carolina that have received heavy rainfall are coming our way.
Add to that this state's rivers, already swollen from a rainy summer and saturated ground.
And the question is, how high will the water be? And we do not know.
Those rivers are expected to start rising tomorrow, and various agencies are sending people around the expected flood zones, telling them they should leave today.
More than 500,000 people are without power in North and South Carolina. Officials say it could be weeks before everyone is back online. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh faces new opposition as the woman who accuses him of sex assault comes forward to detail her allegations. Correspondent Stephen Portnoy is live in Washington with the details.
Christine Blasey Ford says it happened more than 35 years ago, perhaps in the summer of 1982, but she can't remember exactly when. Ford tells the Washington Post that Brett Kavanaugh, then a basketball and football star at the Tony Georgetown Prep School, drunkenly pinned her to a bed, groped her, and tried to take off her bathing suit. All she says, as a friend of his looked on. Ford, now a psychology professor, says the incident traumatized her for years. She claims she's come forward now, despite fearing the anguish and terror of retaliation, out of a sense of civic responsibility. And her lawyer, Deborah Katz, says she's ready to share her story with the Senate Judiciary Committee.
She is willing to, hopefully, tell her story in a manner that is a fair proceeding.
And top aide to President Trump Kellyanne Conway says she agrees that Ford should be allowed to testify under oath, and Judge Kavanaugh, too. A Kavanaugh advisor tells CBS News he welcomes the chance to share his side of the story with the committee. The question now is, will the Senate Judiciary Panel move forward with its planned Thursday vote on Kavanaugh's nomination? Stay tuned, Deborah.
At least 69 people have been killed by a typhoon that slammed into the Philippines, then moved on to China.
This is Ben Tracy in Hong Kong, where Typhoon Mangkhut has now been downgraded to a tropical storm, but not before doing extensive damage in the city and in the South China coast. Here in Hong Kong, scaffolding was ripped off buildings, windows were blown out of high-rises, and there are downed trees almost everywhere you drive in this city of 7 million people.
A Border Patrol agent in Laredo, Texas, Juan David Ortiz, is under arrest charged with murder in the deaths of four female sex workers. CBS's Omar Villafranca at the Webb County Sheriff's Office.
According to an affidavit that was given to the Associated Press, Ortiz killed two women in the days before picking up Erica Pena on Friday. She escaped to a gas station where she flagged down a state trooper for help. Ortiz then allegedly picked up and killed two more women before authorities found him and arrested him in a hotel parking lot early Saturday morning.
An aspirin a day to keep heart attacks away? New study finds it may do more harm than good. The findings show people who take 100 milligrams daily, a relatively low dosage, do not lower their risks of cardiovascular or other diseases, but increase their chances of bleeding in the digestive tract and brain. Bruce Halloway took part in the study.
This knowledge will now be available for GPs to make recommendations to their older patients. And that'll be true not only for Australia, but also for many other populations of the world.
The study is published in the New England Journal of Medicine and involved more than 19,000 people, 65 and older. Okay, here we go. Woody Allen's wife is speaking out about claims of sex abuse against her movie director husband. The story from CBS's Vicki Barker.
In a rare interview, Sunyi Previn has spoken about her relationship with her estranged mother, Mia Farrow, who she says often treated her like a maid. The 47-year-old telling New York Magazine she spoke up because she believes sister Dylan Farrow has been manipulated by their mother into unfairly accusing Allen of molesting her as a child. In separate tweets, Dylan Farrow and Ronan Farrow calling the New York Magazine article inaccurate and unfair.
Time Magazine is getting a new owner. It's cloud computing pioneer Mark Benioff, a co-founder of Salesforce. He and his wife are spending $190 million on the deal. The growing popularity of electric cars means new problems on the roads.
Gasoline fires are a well-known risk, but Navigant research analyst Sam Abul-Samad says with more EVs on the road, first responders are dealing with more battery fires.
It's crucial to take great care in handling lithium-ion batteries, you know, because there's a lot of energy in there.
Experts say the risk will grow with more electric vehicles on the road and more batteries being trucked to factories. Jeff Gilbert for CBS News, Detroit.
With unemployment at record lows, people may have more money to spend on gifts this holiday season, but they'll also spend more time making their purchases. Numbers from LinkedIn show retailers will have more trouble than usual filling seasonal openings. Kohl's and Penney's started hiring early in June. Target is increasing salaries for temps by 20%. And that's the World News Roundup for Monday, September 17th. I'm Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.